We have before us in our study today one of the best known verses in all the Bible. I wish it were one of the most believed verses. Though many people know it from memory, they have never really experienced it in their heart. Martin Luther termed John 3:16 the Bible in miniature. Others have called it the Gospel in a nutshell. Almost every child memorizes it in Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Probably there are no words in the Bible more important than the opening words of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Oh, the mercy of our loving Heavenly Father, that he should be concerned about sinful humanity. His very nature is love. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him, we read in 1 John 4:16. There is no end to which his love cannot go, for he so loved the world. God's love embraces all of fallen humanity, all who are identified in Adam's transgression. When Christ died on the cross, he died for all, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, we're told in Hebrews 2:9. Christ's death was proof of the Father's love. God not only stated his love, he proved it, in that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ was the Father's sacrifice in providing redemption for all. Isaiah the prophet declared in Isaiah 53:6, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." God's love does not exclude human responsibility. The provision has been made for every human born into the world, but each human must believe to be saved. God's love for the world does not mean universal salvation for everyone. One of the heavenly truths Jesus revealed to Nicodemus was that in order to be saved, one must believe of his own volition. What is it to believe? It is to recognize Christ as one's sin bearer, and at the same time to submit to his control. The moment one believes, God assures the believer that he will not perish but have everlasting life. All who refuse to believe on Christ in this life will perish. That is, they will spend eternity in hell. Those who believe will spend eternity in the presence of Christ. Christ also revealed that he did not come to bring judgment upon the world. When he returns at his second advent, his mission will be one primarily of judgment. But in his first advent, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. God the Father longs for every person in the entire world to come to Christ for salvation. Christ came into the world that the world through him might be saved. If this phrase were lifted from its context, it might provide weight for the false teaching of universal salvation. But the entire passage stresses the personal responsibility of each one who would be saved. "Whosoever believeth," God says. Jesus stressed that all who trust in Christ are immediately delivered from the guilt of sin. They are pardoned and justified. That is, they are declared righteous in the sight of God. We read in verse 18 of John chapter 3, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." This is the third time that our Lord spoke of believing on himself. Repetition in the Bible is vitally important. Do not overlook this essential truth that belief in Christ is the basic requisite for salvation. But notice the other side of this truth. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Eternal condemnation is not based upon how one lives, but upon what he believes. Whoever believes on Christ escapes condemnation. Those who refuse to believe are eternally condemned right now. This condemnation does not come upon us at the end of the physical life. Nor is one free from condemnation until he decides whether or not he desires to believe on Christ. He is under the condemnation of God until he believes. Because of Adam's transgression, and because this sin has infected all humans born into the world, all humans are naturally condemned. The only escape from condemnation is to believe on Christ, as God has stated in his word. Now we read in verse 19, as we get insight into the heart of man, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The eternal Son of God entered the world. Not only that, he went to the cross to die for everyone in the world. We might think that because of this supreme sacrifice, everyone would grasp the opportunity to believe on him and follow him. But just the opposite is true. Rather than choose Christ and holiness, millions have continued to reject him and follow the paths of wickedness. Why? Well, God says their deeds were evil. Jeremiah was correct when he said in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Because we possess sinful natures, we desire sin. Only after a miracle of God is performed in the soul will one be concerned about righteousness. Man left to himself loves darkness rather than light. Even the best of men are given to sinful thoughts and wicked deeds. This is why Nicodemus needed to be born again, and why every human of every age needs to be born again. Verses 20 and 21 provide a contrast between two men, the unconverted and the converted. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Sin and Christ are irreconcilable. Unconverted people have no sincere love for Christ. There are many who are not really against Christ, who acknowledge him as the Son of God and respect him as the Savior, but they have never committed themselves to him because they love their sin more than they love him. They have not come to him and believed on him. Thus, down deep in their hearts, they despise him. If they did not, they would love him. The Lord Jesus tells us the reason that many unconverted people do not come to him for salvation is that they fear their deeds will be reproved. How foolish! For sooner or later, they must appear before the judgment of God. How much better to let Christ deal with one's evil now than to expose it later and then hear his words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." One can never find peace by hiding his sins. God says in Ezekiel 18:20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die." The one who persists in sin will be separated from God eternally. Verse 21 says we get a look at the other man. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The man who comes to Christ will not be ashamed of his deeds. Oh, he will be ashamed of all that transpired before his conversion. But after he is born again, he is energized by the power of God to do those things that please and honor the name of God. His life will be a witness to the saving power of Christ, for all that he does is wrought in God, the Bible says. Paul declared in Acts 24:16, "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." The believer will be a shining light to reveal the true light. For I read in Ephesians 2:10, "We are his workmanship," God's workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The indwelling Holy Spirit enables the believer to walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, which of these two men are you? Do you hate the light or love the light? If there is any doubt, I hope you'll turn to Christ. He is God's Son, the only way of salvation. Don't look for another way. I know there are many teaching about other ways. Do this, do that, join this, join that. Send your money here and we'll do this for you and so on and so on. But don't you believe it. Believe the Word of God. And God says to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Blessed Lord, we love you today and rejoice in our salvation. For many listening who are lost, draw them to yourself, I ask. May they experience your love and bow before you to claim Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We pray this in his holy name. Amen.